Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The U.S. Supreme Court has decided to jump into the issue of a case arising out of Virginia involving the so-called LGBT agenda, in which a girl who wants to be a boy wants to use the boys' restroom. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of barbedwire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. Matt, this case comes out of Virginia. It's Gloucester County School District, and this person who calls herself Gavin Grimm is biologically, physiologically female, but now wants to identify, be considered a male, and consequently wants to use the boys' restroom. When she started to do that, parents learned about it, they complained, and the school said, no, you've got to use the restroom of who you are. Boys use boys, girls use girls. Pretty simple, common sense. Well, the ACLU got involved and they filed a lawsuit. The case now will be going to the United States Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court of the United States will consider, one, whether or not the letter that Obama issued in May of 2016 has any value at all, whether or not you should give any deference to an unpublished letter. And also, the bigger question is this, whether or not Title IX, which is this law that governs non-discrimination within the public educational system, where it says that you can't discriminate on the basis of sex, includes so-called gender identity. That's the big issue that will be before the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to believe that we're even having this conversation, that something so utterly insane has to be addressed by the United States Supreme Court. You know, Halloween was recently, and I know a lot of Christians don't celebrate Halloween, but my kids were dressed up for Halloween. One of my daughters was dressed up as a cat. And it occurred to me, you know,
I can see where this is going.
She's pretending to be a cat, right? For Halloween. She's got a costume on. Well, this young woman, this 17-year-old young woman who goes by the name Gavin Grimm, we need to have compassion for her. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. she's pretending to be a boy,
right?
Just like my daughter was pretending to be a cat. There's no difference there. They are both objectively not what they are portraying themselves as. And the fact that the Supreme Court would have to actually hear this, and the fact that we have a president who issues an edict, he might as well have said, we have to treat people based on the species. If your daughter believes she's a cat at school, you have to treat her like a cat and set out a kitty box. And, you know, I mean, it's just absolutely insane, but that's where we are.
You know, in reality, there's no difference in what you're saying. Now, somebody might say, well, but the difference is that in one case, somebody just wants to play that. In the other case, they think that. But, you know, the same thing is true for a lot of different mental conditions and confused conditions. Anorexia, bulimia. It's not somebody who thinks, you know, just pretends that they're overweight. It's somebody who thinks that they're overweight. They've got confused thinking. They have different kinds of things that are going on, stressors within their mind, confused thinking. So when they look in the mirror, they see somebody who's overweight, when in fact, they might be just simply skin and bones. So as a result of that confused thinking, the mental disorder that they've got, they want to purge themselves every time they eat. There's lots of different kinds of conditions where you have this fictitious or phantom kind of situation. Anorexia, bulimia, apotemnophilia, where you think that you are a person who is disabled inhabiting an abled body. Now, what does that look like? That means that you think you should not have an arm, a limb, a digit, something. You think you should not have that. You think that you are disabled, but you're inhabiting an abled body, and you want to eliminate that body part. And that's a real condition called apotemnophilia. Now, this whole issue of gender identity, that's also some kind of situation. Now, somebody may be playing that, but somebody may be confused, and somebody may think, hey, I want to identify as a boy, and they're really biologically a girl. What do you do with that? Well, you don't give them plastic surgery and hormones and make them think that their confused thinking is reality any more than you give someone who's got anorexia, bulimia, liposuction, and you don't amputate a body part for somebody who has apotemnophilia. You do mental behavior modification. It just makes no sense to rearrange the external world around somebody who's got confused thinking to match their confused thinking.
You know, it's just evidence that our society has so strayed away from absolute truth, which is God. God is the creator of absolute truth. They found that 65% of Americans no longer believe there is absolute truth. Everything is relative to how you feel, your circumstances. 80% of millennials are now embracing that thought as well. And so it's very, you know, evident you're created a man or you're created a woman. There's no gray matter in there. And so, again, we're just enabling that kind of thinking where, okay, if I feel like a man today, that I can be a man. My truth is relative to how I feel.
Well, in this case, you know, Gavin wants to be identified as a girl or as a boy.
Right, but God created her as a
girl. Biologically a girl. There's no question about that. She was created that way. My concern is that you've got ideologues on the United States Supreme Court. I have no confidence, by the way, in this Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah.
In the majority of these people, because they don't follow the rule of law. They make it up as they go.
Relative.
They are mathematicians that say 2 + 2 = 5, or it could equal 6, depending upon whatever the time of the season historically might be. It changes mm-hmm. over time. There's no definites. There's no rule of law. There really is no constitution, because there are at least a majority of people on that court that think they are the living, breathing constitution, that whatever they say is constitution. And that's the law, not what's written in the text that we, the people, presented in front of them. So the problem that we have is, where is this court going to go? I have no idea where they're going to go.
And that ties directly into what Holly was saying. That is relativism on display. And when you inject relativism into the judicial world, you have utter chaos. Relativism breeds chaos. Moral relativism is moral chaos. Law is objective. There are objective standards of law that are set in order, as there are objective standards of reality and morality that are in place as a guidepost for people to refer to. Well, if it's relative, it's all over the board, and you have chaos. Well, that same kind of relativism, that same kind of living, breathing view of the law is exactly what President Obama did. And that's what the left does when they don't like an objective definition of a term. They simply move the goalposts. They just change the definition of something. And so that's what they did with Title IX. Obama said, no, even though the legislative intent was absolutely and irrefutably clear that by sex in Title IX, they were talking about biological male or biological female, because we believe in relativism, because we don't like that definition, we're going to change and we're going to say that the legislative intent, well, they're not even claiming the legislative intent was something.
Yeah, you know, when you look at the legislative intent, it's pretty clear. When you can't discriminate on the basis of sex, back in the 1970s when they were doing this, it obviously meant male and female. And moreover, Congress has been presented multiple times with amending Title VII, not Title IX, but the same thing, to include sexual orientation and gender identity. And every single time that it has been done over a period of about 10 years, they've rejected it. So it's pretty clear they don't want it in there. So five people on the United States Supreme Court shouldn't attempt to write it in when Congress doesn't want it in there and when it actually makes no sense. When you say that you think, therefore, you can be someone of the opposite sex, then think about discrimination on the basis of gender. You have small business loans. Well, they're made to help women-owned businesses or minority-owned businesses. So now I could go and say, I'm a white male, but I want to identify as a female and go apply for a small business loan. Who's going to say I can't?
That's crazy.
You know, when you say, you know, these laws were designed to protect people and minorities that would ultimately be discriminated against. Women didn't have the right to vote. Why would we need a constitutional amendment to give women the right to vote if you could just think, therefore, you are a man?
Right.
Why would we need these kinds of things, or we have to say equal pay for, you know, equal work for women, or that you're discriminated because there's a glass ceiling for women? Well, if you're a man or a woman, you can just think the opposite and you can allege discrimination when there really is nothing. It just turns reality on its head, and it's absolutely dangerous. It's a deconstruction of law, but it's also a dangerous message to give the children in the school system. For more information, go to lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation.